I'd like you to open your Bibles to Mark chapter 10, that portion that we read from. And with your Bible open, let's bow to pray for the blessing of the Lord upon his word. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the grace and the wonder of thy great goodness towards thy people. And Lord, we who are only worthy of the judgment and damnation of hell, we thank thee, O God, thou hast saved us by thy grace, and today we can read our titles clear to mansions in the sky. We ask your Father that thou would bless us, and Lord, help us each one to surrender totally to the service of the Lord Jesus. And Father, should there be one in our service today, or looking on the internet, that thou who know not the Lord, we pray, our Father, that thou would speak to them by the word of thy power. And Lord, just as thou didst prick the heart of Paul on the road to Damascus and prick the heart of those disciples in the land, in the city of Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost, so, Lord, we pray that thou would prick the heart of those who know not Christ, and we pray that thou would give them grace to call upon the name of the Lord. So be with us now, we pray, and bless, speak, not in the empty eloquence of man's wisdom, but in the power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Most everybody that you will meet will want eventually to go to heaven, whether they call it heaven or something else. They have the idea of going to heaven. I have been a believer for over 60 years, and I can tell you that I've only met two people ever who said to me that they did not want to go to heaven. One was an elderly Jehovah Witness woman. She didn't believe in it, and she didn't want to go there. And the other was a man I used to work with, a young man who, in my opinion, was a fool. And he said that he did not want to go to heaven, especially if God's people were going to heaven. He didn't want to go to be in heaven with them. Now, Jesus Christ spoke of only two roads and pathways through life. He told us that there is the broad road that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. He also spoke of the narrow way that led unto salvation, and he said, few there be that find that. Now, today we have before us in this chapter the sad story of a young man who was so near and yet so far from the kingdom of God. Jesus, through his earthly ministry, met many, many people in the 3 years that he ministered in Israel. He met many, many people, and invariably those meetings were happy meetings, and they ended happily for the people concerned. For example, he met lame people. He was able to touch them and restore their walking ability, and they were happy that they met the Lord. He met blind people who couldn't see. He gave them sight, and they were happy because they're now able to see. He met the woman at the well, and he gave her a water that caused her never to thirst again. He met Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was happy when he met the Lord and came and trusted Christ. He met the dying thief on the cross, and he was happy that he met the Lord because today he would be with the Lord in paradise. And so most of the people who met the Lord were happy that they met him and went away rejoicing from their encounter with the Lord Jesus. But here in this chapter we have a different story. And the story is of a young man who left his encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ, as the Bible tells us, grieved. And he was sad because he went away and he turned his back on Christ and turned his back on heaven. And you ask, why did that happen? The answer is in verse 21 of our chapter, which says that Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, one thing thou lackest. And the one thing that this young man lacked caused him to miss heaven and to suffer the judgment of Almighty God. Now this morning, I want to find out what was that one thing that kept him out of heaven. and to challenge anyone here who doesn't know the Lord, that you will come to know him and that you'll not be kept out of heaven because you're missing the same thing that this young man was lacking. But before we begin to try and find out what was the one thing that he lacked, we need to look at the things that he did not lack, because he had a number of things going for him, but none of them were any good with regard to the salvation of his soul. This young man, we're told that he was a rich young ruler. So he had plenty of money, plenty of possessions. He was young enough and had the health enough to enjoy his possessions. And he was also in a position of leadership or a ruler in the nation of Israel. So this young man was blessed. He was the rich young ruler. Now, one of the things that he obviously did not lack, and that was, he did not lack money in order to buy a blessing. Because if somebody was going to buy salvation and had to buy it by money, he would have had the money to do it because he had lots of money. If salvation was by purchasing it, either by money or by our good works, that many, many people could never afford it. We can never afford God's salvation, and so we would lose out, because salvation, the bottom line, is a gift from God. Now remember that. It's a gift from God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It is the gift of God. Now I have on here a nice watch today, and this watch was given to me about 10 years ago, I think, when I officially retired. Now, retirement is a myth. I got this when I retired, and it's a very nice watch, and I like it. And if I came to the men of the church who gave it to me and said, "Brethren, you're too kind. Let me actually pay for it." Now, they would have been insulted because they were giving me a gift. And for me to try and pay for it, that would be an insult. But say they came to me and said, "Well, what are you going to pay with?" And I reach into my pocket and I say, "I want to pay for it with this here. This is very valuable. I want to pay for it with this." And so they would be really annoyed, because that's only a dirty old rag. And the reason I show you that is because in Isaiah, it tells us all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in the sight of God. So if you think of salvation, you can't buy it for money, because it comes without price and without money. And you can't buy it by the good works that you do, because in God's eyes, your good works are like that rag. And so this young man, he had the money, and could not buy salvation, because Jesus said to him, "Young man, despite that, one thing thou lackest." Then the second thing that he didn't lack, and that was a respect for the Lord Jesus, because he came to the right one. He didn't come to an organization. He didn't come to a church. He came to a person, and that person was the Lord Jesus. And no doubt he had heard of the Lord Jesus and his ministry in his area. And perhaps he had actually listened to him and heard him ministering nearby. And so when Jesus comes to his area, he goes and he runs. Now remember, he's a young man, he is a rich young man, and he is a ruler. So he has status in Israel. And he comes, and it says he comes running, and he kneeled to Jesus. And he said, "Good Master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" Now this is quite strange, because he had a respect for the Lord Jesus. And he called him by that name, a good master. And that was beyond the bounds of custom in his place, because he addressed the Lord with respect. And you imagine him running along, there's a crowd of people coming to hear the Lord speaking, and he comes to the Lord, gets down on the road, and the dirt and the dust of her oath on his knees, and he says, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" And so he had a desire to show respect to the Lord Jesus Christ. But the fact that he had respect, Jesus still said, "One thing thou lackest." Now, if I was to ask you, what do you think of Jesus Christ? You'd probably say, "Well, I respect him. I believe he is the Savior of the world." And you wouldn't disrespect him as some people who do today and use his name as a swear word and a curse word. You wouldn't do that, because you have respect for who he is. And you've read about him, you've heard about him in church, you've learned about him in Sunday school, you know that about him, and so you have respect. And that's good to have respect for Christ, but he still says, "One thing thou lackest." And then there was something else that he didn't lack, and that was he didn't lack a desire for salvation. Because this young man, he had a good life, rich and young and lots of health. And also he was a ruler, had status in the society. But yet there was something missing. I just heard of somebody recently who is well off and doing very well in the world. And a Christian who spoke to him said, "There's something missing in his life. It's missing. One thing he's lacking." And this young man had a desire for salvation, because he said, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" And he would think, you know, that probably he heard about the Lord speaking, as he did at this time, about the publican and the Pharisee. And he says, "Well, I'm not a Pharisee, and neither am I a publican." And the Lord, as we read, was receiving the children and blessing them. He said, "I'm not a child, but what must I do? I'm not a publican, not a Pharisee, I'm not a child, but what must I do that I may inherit eternal life?" This young man was deadly serious. And you'll find that he was not a Sadducee, because the Sadducees, they didn't believe in eternal life. But this young man did, and he desired it. And what about you today? Do you desire to be saved? Do you desire to go to heaven? Do you desire to be with the Lord forevermore? That's good to have that desire. But still Jesus said to this young man, "One thing thou lackest." This young man, he wanted so badly God's salvation that he came running, he came with an urgent desire, because the Lord Jesus was moving on in his ministry to some other place, and the young man probably looked and thought, "This is the last opportunity I'm going to have to see him." And so he ran, he kneeled down to him. And friend, this could be your last opportunity that God is speaking to you about the salvation of your soul, and it's good that you have respect for him. It's good that you have a desire for salvation, but Jesus still says, "One thing thou lackest." And something else he didn't lack, and that was he didn't lack a righteous, respectable life. He wasn't like the publican. The publicans were despised in Israel. They were notable sinners. This young man wasn't like that, because the Lord Jesus questioned him. And he asked him, he says, "Why callest thou me good? For there's none good but one, that is God." So he's identifying that he is God. And then he says to him, "Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and mother." Now you'll notice that Jesus questioned him not about the first table of the law, but the second table. The first table of the law, the first four commandments, have to do with man's responsibility to God himself. And the second table have to do, the second six commandments have to do with our relationship to our fellow man and neighbors. So the young man was able to say that all these, Master, all these have I observed from my youth. And so here's a young man who tried very hard to love his neighbor. And as far as that is concerned, he was flawless because Jesus didn't contradict him. When he asked him about the six commandments, he says, all these have I observed from my youth. And the Lord goes, but you didn't observe this one. You didn't observe. The Lord didn't contradict him. So here's a young man who had a righteous, respectable life and received no contradiction from the Lord. In fact, I would say, if there was ever a young man who could be saved by his works, here he is. No question about his keeping the commandments of God on that second table of the law dealing with regard to the those who are the book of Romans tells us in chapter 3 and verse 20 it says, therefore by the deeds of the law shall there no flesh be justified in his sight, but by the law is the knowledge of sin. So Paul tells us absolutely clearly that you can keep all these commandments, but by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. And then you could turn over to Galatians, and you'll find there in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 16, it tells us something similar. Galatians 2 and 16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. And then the end of the verse, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. So that's pretty clear. The Lord makes it absolutely clear in his word that you cannot be saved by your good works. Good works are good with regard to your neighbor, but they will not save your soul, because even though this young man had a righteous, respectable life, still Jesus said, one thing thou lackest. Now, today, you may be here and you may have a good life. And if I was to talk to your neighbor, your neighbor would maybe say, well, he or she has been a very good neighbor. They've been quiet, never caused any trouble. They have been helpful. That's good to have a testimony like that. But Jesus still said, despite the fact this young man had that, one thing thou lackest. There's something else he didn't lack, and that was the compassion of the Lord Jesus, because in verse 21 it says, then Jesus, beholding him, loved him. And so he had the compassion of the Lord Jesus. Jesus saw many good qualities in the young man, the earnest young man. And today we can tell you that Jesus loves you, because John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And we can say Jesus loves you today. He came from the splendor and the glory of heaven down to this world of wickedness and woe, and he came down with the purpose of saving souls. He himself was willing to become despised and rejected of men. He was willing to die the awful death of the cross on behalf of sinners. And there's no respect of persons with the Lord, because we were looking in the Bible class this morning in Peter's first message on the day of Pentecost, how that he said and quoted from Joel, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So it doesn't matter whether you're rich or poor, doesn't matter whether you're young or old, doesn't matter whether you're sinful or self-righteous, it doesn't matter any of these things, because the grace of God can still reach you and save. So it's good to know that God loves the world of sinners lost and ruined by the fall. But still Jesus said, after he said that about loving him, one thing thou lackest, there's something missing. You got money? Not enough. You got a respect for the Lord? Not enough. You got a desire for salvation? Not enough. Do you have a righteous respect of life? You do have. It's not enough. You have the compassion of the Lord Jesus. But still, one thing thou lackest. There's something else he didn't lack, and that was he didn't lack the call of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because in the verse 21, Jesus told them that one thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And, listen to these words, come, take up the cross, and follow me. I want you to notice those words, follow me. The only people in the New Testament of whom that is said is, first of all, Peter and Andrew in chapter 4 of Matthew's Gospel. Follow me. Also, Matthew himself in the Gospel was told, follow me. And then you have Philip in John's Gospel. Jesus said to him, follow me. And the only other person in the Gospel to whom that was stated was this young man. And this young man, as far as I can see it, he had a golden opportunity to become a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. But there was something lacking. And when he met the Lord spoke to him. It says he was sad at that saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. So he came so near to God's salvation. He had the Son of God right beside him. The Son of God told him what to do, but he wouldn't do it. And he turned his back on Christ and walked away, and his heart was filled with sadness and with grief. Now comes the time, what was he missing? He wasn't missing money. He didn't miss or lose a respect for the Savior or desire for salvation. He had a righteous, respectable life. He had the compassion of the Lord Jesus who loved him. And he had the call of the Lord who said, follow me. But still Jesus said, one thing thou lackest. What was that one thing? Let's find out. I want you to think about those other four men who had that call. Number one, Peter and Andrew. Just a couple of weeks ago in the Bible class, I've been looking at the life of Peter. We saw the scene at the side of the Sea of Galilee. And there was Peter and Andrew and James and John with their boats and with their nets. And they were mending their nets and they were cleaning their nets. They had fished all night and caught nothing. And the Lord commandeered one of the boats, Peter's boat, and went out and sat there and spoke to the people. I've been in the place. You go to the edge of the Sea of Galilee, a nice little sort of amphitorium there in the grass, in the water. And he was in the boat talking to the people. His voice would carry very well. And the end of that, the Lord told them to go out, launch out into the deep, and they did, and they caught a whole mass of fishes. And the result of that was that when they came ashore and brought the fish ashore, Peter and Andrew and James and John, the four of them, what did they do? They left their boats. They left their nets. The things that could have kept them back from following Christ were the accoutrements of the fishing trade, their boats and their fishes and so on, and their nets. But they left it all behind. And left their father as well and followed Jesus. You see what happened? They totally surrendered to Christ. You look at Matthew. Matthew was not a popular person in Israel because he was a publican, a tax collector. People didn't like him because he's working for the Romans. The Lord Jesus Christ passed by, and there's the table, and there's the books and the accoutrements of his tax-gathering occupation. The Lord passed by and said, "Follow me." And so, immediately, Matthew left the books and the money and all the rest and followed Jesus. He totally surrendered to the call of Christ upon him. And likewise, Philip, we don't know what Philip was doing at the time, but whatever it was, as soon as Jesus said, "Follow me," he left all and followed the Lord Jesus Christ. The hindrances that could have been for Peter and Andrew and James and John and Philip and Matthew, it could have been the boats and the fish and so on, or the tax equipment that he had, that Matthew had. But they didn't let those things stand in the way. They surrendered everything. In fact, Peter says that because in verse 28 of our chapter, "Then Peter began to say unto Jesus, Lo, we have left all and have followed thee." So he left all and he followed after the Lord Jesus Christ. He totally surrendered. The disciples totally surrendered. Now the hindrance for this young man, the hindrance was his money and his possessions. He didn't have to worry about boats and fishes and nets and stuff. He didn't have to worry about tax gatherers, books and so on. The thing that would hold him back was his possessions and his money. And when the Lord Jesus Christ came to him, you'll notice now what happens. He tested him on the second table of the law with regard to the neighbor, and he was flawless. But now, he's testing him on the first table of the law. "Thou shalt have no other gods before me, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind." And this young man found his possessions to be a hindrance. That was his problem. Peter and so on, different problem. Now in your case, what is holding you back from following the Lord? What's holding you back from totally surrendering your life to him? Not the thing that held Peter, could have held Peter and Andrew and James and John back, or Matthew or Philip, or even would have held this young man back. Something else. But there's one thing that up to the moment you're not willing to surrender to the Lord. You've got to surrender all, because how sad that one sin or one possession or one attitude could bar the door of heaven for you. One thing thou lackest. You can look in your own heart, you know what that thing is. But you got to surrender to the Lord. And if you do, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But if you're not willing to surrender totally to him, you will die and die without God and without Christ and without hope in this world or the world to come. My friend, the Bible tells us now is the day of salvation. Now is the time to seek the Lord while he may be found. Let's bow together in prayer. The Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy people here, and thou hast given to them grace to call upon the name of the Lord, and thou hast given them grace to follow after thee and to totally surrender to the claim of Christ upon their lives. And Lord, we thank thee that thou art a good master and thou hast blessed us abundantly. But Lord, if there are some here this morning who are like this young man and there's something that's holding them back, it might be like his case, money or possessions, or like the case of the other disciples that we've seen, something holding them back. Oh God, we pray that thou would give them grace this day to call upon thy name and to say, Lord, I surrender all, because, Lord, if they do, they will be blessed by thee. Be with us now, we pray, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to close with hymn number 552. All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. We'll sing verses 1, 3, and 5. All to Jesus. These may not be empty words that we're singing, but each one of us, saved and unsaved, would surrender all to the cause of Christ. And Lord, help us, we pray, to give our lives unreservedly in the service of Christ the King. And especially, Lord, those who, like this young man, are lacking in that ability to surrender all. Oh God, we pray today that thou would speak to them, that thou would convict them of sin and of righteousness and of judgment to come. And Lord, give them grace today to call upon thy name. Hear this our prayer, and part us now in thy fear and with thy blessing, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Before we do dismiss, if there is a soul here this morning and the Lord has spoken to you and you know that things are not right, if you'd like to talk with us afterwards, be glad to meet with you and to show you how that today you can know the blessing of God's salvation. This is a day for surrender. Let's surrender to him.